Good morning to you, my Walking with Jesus friends. For many of you in America, today may be a holiday as part of the long 4th of July weekend. I wonder how you'll spend these days. What special memories will be made? Who will you choose to spend these special days with? Probably you have arranged all the relationships in your life into categories, right? You have coworkers or fellow students. You also have neighbors who live near you and friends who you stay in contact with, regardless of how far away from you they live. And you have family relationships and perhaps religious relationships. But do you have some special people in your life whom you'd call prayer partners? These would be the people whom you contact when you have a special need that calls for help from some special spiritual people who understand the power of prayer conversations with God. Who are these special people in your life, my friends? What is the criteria by which you chose them as a prayer partner for you? How would you describe the relationship you believe these people have with God? Of course, I realize it's very possible there is no one you can think of that fits this description of a prayer partner in your life. Today, as we rejoin the Apostle Paul, Silas, and Timothy in Corinth in the year 51 AD, Paul rolls out the parchment again as he's ready to begin his final chapter in this, his second letter to the Christians in Thessalonica, Macedonia. Perhaps Paul dictates while Timothy scribes. I wonder if Paul paced while he dictated, or did he simply sit quietly with his eyes closed, pondering very deeply each word he felt led by the Holy Spirit to speak to these dear Thessalonians. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the message of the Lord Jesus may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1. We remember that Paul only spent 3 weeks in Thessalonica, according to Acts 17. Yet in those few days, many people responded in great faith to the gospel message they heard for the first time from Paul. Now, Paul's great passion would be that this gospel would spread just as quickly to many other cities and towns in Macedonia and Greece. Thus, he invites these Christians in Thessalonica to join with Paul as prayer partners in asking God to do the miraculous spiritual work in hearts and minds all across the empire that God did there in Thessalonica in those 3 weeks. May I ask, friends, if you are an authentic Christian, how often do you pray asking God to powerfully impact people with the gospel in your city, your country, or even in places around the world which you know desperately need what can only be accomplished through people trusting the gospel? Paul continues, "And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil people, for not everyone has faith. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one." 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 2 and 3. Now, do you see Paul has moved to requesting a very different type of prayer partnership from his friends in Thessalonica? This is intercessory prayer. This is spiritual warfare praying. Do you remember how Jesus prayed, as recorded in John 17, the night before Jesus went to the cross? Jesus prayed, "Father, I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name you gave me. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I'm sending them into the world. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message." John 17. Oh, my friends, John 17 is one of the greatest chapters in the Bible, and I hope you read it often. As you do, I'm sure the Holy Spirit will overwhelm you with feelings of deep gratitude to Jesus for all he has accomplished for you. What do you think about this matter of requesting God for spiritual protection from the evil one? Do you understand what both Jesus and Paul were praying about and why they requested protection from God? When Paul wrote his letter to the Ephesian Christians, he explained this about spiritual protection needed. "Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Ephesians 6:10-12. Do you see the very practical reality of Satan and his dark kingdom launching planned attacks against the followers of Jesus? Paul calls them schemes of the devil. Do you see Paul identifies some of those who are actively working those devilish schemes? Rulers, authorities, powers of this dark world, spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Do you see Paul makes it very clear the enemies of the gospel, the enemies of God and God's people are not human beings. Rather, human beings are empowered, angered, and moved to irrational thinking and violent behavior by the powerful influence of demonic forces. But I'm sure you can see the advantages these demonic forces have over us, right? We can't see demons. We can't smell them. We can't hear them. How can you defend yourself against an invisible enemy, especially when that invisible enemy is very powerful, diabolical, and is not just one demon, but an entire army of them? That is why Paul is calling upon his friends in Thessalonica to join as his spiritual prayer partners as he battles the dark kingdom, which is always energetically opposed to God, God's people, and God's purposes. This request of Paul is so significant, so important, that we're going to spend a couple of days digging for the gold of understanding here, my friends. Paul understood the spiritual significance and the great physical danger he faced each day as he sought to live the assignment he had received from Jesus, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus to people who had not understood it before. Many times Paul had experienced a sudden and terrifying reaction from some people who violently refused the gospel. Paul had been beaten in several cities, and once in Lystra had so many rocks thrown at him he was left for dead, Acts 14. Paul himself had been the leader of such violence before his encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. Paul had stood giving formal approval to and watching over the stoning execution of Stephen, the deacon follower of Jesus in Jerusalem, Acts 7. So Paul understood exactly what he was asking the Thessalonian Christians to do as he urged them to pray for God's protection of him as he proclaimed the gospel and fought daily with the dark kingdom. Now, I often like to conclude our time with some questions for reflection. Are you ready? 1. What is your understanding of this spiritual warfare I've been talking about today, which we saw in Ephesians 6? 2. What schemes have you seen the devil attempt in trying to discourage you or draw you away from God or draw you into temptation? How have you battled with those schemes? What has been your defense against the devil? 3. Who are those people you believe could be spiritual prayer partners with you, engaging powerful prayer on your behalf when needed? 4. Are you mature enough in your relationship with God the Father, with Jesus Christ the Son of God, and with the Holy Spirit of God that you could be an intercessor, a prayer warrior on behalf of someone who called you, as Paul is calling upon his friends, asking you to join in spiritual warfare, intercessory prayer, as they battled the dark kingdom? 5. One last question for you parents and grandparents. How seriously do you take intercessory prayer or spiritual warfare prayer on behalf of your children and grandchildren? Now, I urge us to really think about these questions, maybe even talk with God about them, and we'll resume tomorrow with Paul looking at 2 Thessalonians 3. Here's a song to help us consider these serious matters today, my friends.